Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Paul the Apostle, as you know, wrote an epistle to the church in Colossae, a city that he had never himself visited, and a church, obviously, that he did not plant, but one that he had a keen interest in because someone that he had pointed to Christ and had trained in Christian ministry had gone to Colossae and planted that church and had come to Rome, where Paul was imprisoned, to give him a report on the church. And in response to that report, Paul is now writing this epistle. And as much as anything, he's writing it for the purpose of strengthening them in the Christian faith so they will not be damaged by false teachers who are already present in the city of Colossae. Now, several times in the earlier verses of the epistle, we find statements that cause us to believe that he has false teachers in mind. But now, as we get to verses 18 and 19 of chapter 2, he becomes much more specific about that. And he'll even become more specific as we move further along in chapter 2. But right now, we are looking at Colossians 2, 18 and 19, which tells us about false teachers. And we are learning the danger of false teachers, examples of false doctrine, a fundamental error, or maybe the fundamental error, of false teachers, and the dynamic of healthy Christianity. What is a different style of Christianity, a healthy one, as opposed to the kind that is formulated by those who are false teachers who do not adhere to the Word of God. So we'll continue this on this Friday, August the 5th. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for helping us with the financial costs. Well, the danger of false teachers, and I'm just going to touch on it as we move along, is that they can cheat you of your reward. The first words of verse 19 or 18, let no one cheat you of your reward. A reference either to causing you to lose eternal rewards. Christians are going to be rewarded in heaven for their faithful service upon earth, but you can greatly diminish the reward that you will receive if you give ear to false teachers and follow their unbiblical ways, or this could even more seriously be talking about losing the ultimate prize, namely Christ, heaven, and eternal life. You can think you are a Christian, but because you're listening to false teachers, you never realize that you are not a Christian. You have never truly been born again. You're not under sound teaching that would help you to understand that. And consequently, the prize you lose is your soul. Wow, that's pretty serious. Now, he gave us examples of false doctrine, and we talked about them on previous broadcasts, and I'll just list them quickly. But some of the marks of false teachers are their extra-biblical rules of conduct, their extra-biblical elements of worship, their extra-biblical sources of knowledge, and their exaggerated sense of self-importance. But now we come to the fundamental error of false teachers in the first part of verse 19. It says, "And not holding fast to the head, from which all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God." Not holding fast to the head. That's their fundamental error. We've looked at four marks of false teachers, in other words, four errors, but here is the fundamental error, the main error. not holding fast to the head, or one Bible translates it, have lost connection with the head. Now, putting it that way may be a way of telling us the origin of the false teachers in Colossae. Where do they come from? Well, this statement, has lost connection with the head, or even not holding fast to the head, but it implies abandonment of a previous relationship. What they had abandoned was their relationship with Jesus Christ, not holding fast to the head. Christ, of course, is the head of the body. So they are ones who started out claiming to believe in Christ and appeared to be holding on to the head of the church, who is Jesus Christ, and following him, but they let go. And as we explained in the broadcast yesterday, the letting go is not indicative of a loss of salvation. It is indicative of a lack of genuine salvation. They let go because they never really embraced Christ. So they probably had a claimed connection to Christ. They probably, therefore, these false teachers, came from a Christian background, and having departed, they probably continued to call themselves Christians, but they hopelessly corrupted the gospel of Christ. Now, it is also likely that they were not from Colossae, because there's no reference in this epistle to those who departed from the church. As we find in other epistles, for example, 1 John, who talks about those who departed, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. That really nails it. That explains what I'm trying to say better than I can say it. They went out to manifest that they really never were a part of the true body of Christ, and their departure is the manifestation of that. Well, there's no statement like that here in Colossae, so that leads us to believe that these false teachers in Colossae probably came from another church, and the most likely candidate would be Jerusalem. Jews who claimed to believe in Christ, who said that they had become followers of Christ, but were teaching Mosaic regulations as a requirement for salvation and for acceptable Christian conduct. We have run into teachers like that in other places. We find them in the churches of Galatia. We find them elsewhere in the New Testament, and so it would be very likely that that's the same situation you have here. It seems like these Judaizers almost targeted churches that had been founded by Paul, or in this case of Colossae, had been founded by somebody else who had been trained by Paul. It seems like they were deliberately targeting these kinds of churches for their false teaching. And so they are people who are not holding fast to the head, who have lost connection with the head. They professed to believe in Christ, but they didn't really. They don't really. They profess to be followers of Christ, but they're not. They've departed from sound doctrine. And dear friends, we have to understand that the greatest danger to true Christians and the greatest danger to healthy churches is from false teachers who claim to be Christians. Now, we're living in very perilous times. I don't need to tell you that, and I think we can all see the storm clouds of serious persecution gathering on the horizon against Christians in America today in a way that we haven't had. We're not accustomed to this. We think we're persecuted if somebody makes a nasty remark about Christ or about our Christianity. That's nothing. That's nothing compared to what we're likely going to be facing. But I want to tell you something. the greatest danger to your soul and the greatest danger to your church is not the government, it's not the homosexual movement, as dangerous as that is and as serious as it is. It's not hostile people on the outside who make no profession of Christianity, in fact, who renounce any connection with Christianity and are totally hostile to anything Christian. The greatest danger are people who call themselves Christians and infiltrate churches and teach unsound doctrine. And depending upon the nature of that unsound doctrine and the pervasiveness of it, they can literally destroy churches in some cases, and in other cases, wound them and render them less than spiritually healthy. And my concern in America today is more for the churches than it is for the world, for the government, for what's going on outside the church in society. What's going on outside the church is symptoms, it seems to me, is symptomatic of the decay that has taken place within the church. When the churches of America were more healthy than they are today, the whole nation demonstrated a respect for God and for His Word that is completely lost today. Today we have more churches than ever before, but they don't seem to be as healthy as they were in former days. And my concern is that we have a lot of Christians who are playing church instead of being serious about it, and we have an awful lot of churches that are encouraging that, and we have a lot of false teachers who are leading churches astray and leading the people in those churches astray because they are not giving them sound doctrine, and they are doing greater damage to Christians and to churches than anything in the world. I say it again, the greatest danger to churches and to Christians is false teachers who claim to be Christians. And foolish Christians who can't detect a false teacher when he's standing in front of them giving out false doctrine. But they can't tell that it's false doctrine. Why not? Because they don't know their Bibles. They're easy prey. And the fundamental error of defective Christianity, according to this text, is not holding fast to the head. That's always the problem. A failure to recognize the supremacy of Christ in everything. He's the head. A failure to look to Christ for every need and desire. He's the head. A practice of substituting other things in the place of Christ. It's Christ at the beginning and then on to bigger and better things. Something in addition to the Word of God. Something in addition to the gospel of Christ. To really grow, we need this. For real spiritual power, you must have this. And failing to hold on to the head, which is Christ. And to hold on to the gospel, which all centers in Christ. And to make that the center and the focus and the foundation and the anchor of who we are as Christians and who we are as churches. That's our need. May God help us. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.